Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church, Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
This series is called Invite, and we're just looking at how can we reach out to people so that they come in. How can we reach out to people so that they come in? They come into God's kingdom. And what we are doing is that as a church, we are being more intentional in talking about reaching out to other people. We are being more intentional in talking about, hey, you know what? We have a mission here as a community of God because Jesus Christ started a movement and we are a part of that movement. And his movement carries on the good news that the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. Therefore, everyone is welcome into God's kingdom. So we are ambassadors. We are God's ambassadors that we need to go out and bring people in. However, we need to be more intentional and we have to understand that going out and reaching out to people is actually, it's as if you're swimming upstream in the river. Swimming downstream is easy. Somebody can just push you in the river and the river will take you downstream automatically. But if you want to go upstream, you need to be more intentional. You need to put in extra effort. And inviting people into God's kingdom, that's swimming upstream. So we gotta be intentional. We gotta put in effort. We need to understand our role so that people can connect with God's kingdom. So we are doing this in small groups, growth groups. And if you're not part of a growth group, I would encourage you to connect into a growth group. So growth groups are our small groups. And why do we do growth groups? We do growth groups because we know that individuals matter. You matter. You matter. And we value you. We value your voice. We want to hear you. We value your story. We want to hear your story. We value you and we want to know more about you and we want to love you better. We want to love you well. So be a part of a growth group because there you are fully known, but also you're fully loved. And then also you have an opportunity to love on others. You have an opportunity to love on other people. So I encourage you to join a small group, to join growth groups. Because in these growth groups, in this month, we are talking about what other ways can we take on so that we share the gospel, we share the good news with other people, and what are other ways that we could do that well, as a community. So we are talking about in our growth group, and then on Sundays, we're just talking about let's pay attention to the groups of people that we have around us that we can reach out. And last week, we were talking about reaching out to those that are in our circle. These people, we know them. They could be our family members. They could be colleagues. They could be workmates, schoolmates. These people, we already have a relationship with, and how do we reach out to them? And we talked about one way that you could do that is when you share your experiences of Jesus. So you say, this is what Jesus has done for me, and I wanted to experience the same. So come and meet Jesus. So we were talking about that. And today we're going to be talking about another group of people this morning. So we're in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. And if you can, I would like to ask you to stand as we'll be reading the word of God together. Matthew 9, verse 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." God, we thank you, for you are for us and not against us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Who do you have in your life? Or who do you see around you that you are disgusted by their behavior? When you look around you, are there people around you that when you look at their behavior, you are disgusted by their behavior and you can't stand their behavior? Do you have people like that in your life? Who are they? Who are these people? Is it those who identify as gay? Do they disgust you? Is it those who have aborted, people that have aborted children? Does that disgust you? Is it those that have abused other people? Is it somebody who is known to be a murderer? Is it somebody who is known to be corrupt? Do they disgust you? Is it somebody who is known to be a gossiper? Is it someone who has different views from you, that every time you're in a conversation, they have different views than you, and you can't stand that behavior, and this disgusts you? When you look around you, who are the people that you can't stand? Do you have people in your family that you avoid meeting? Do you have people in your workplace that what you like is, hey, let's do a meeting together. We have a professional relationship. We just do work together, but I cannot hang out with them. Do you have people in your workplace like that? Do you have people in your school that you can't stand and you can't get close to? Do you have people in your business that you know, no matter what, I'll never be around that person because of their behavior? Do you have people that you can't stand because they do things differently from the way you do? They don't align with your beliefs. They don't align with the way you do life. These people are not in your circle at all. These people are not in your circle at all. Matthew was a tax collector. And tax collectors were not loved in the ancient world. I'm not actually sure if they are loved today. But they were not loved in the ancient world. And most of them were taking advantage of people. So they would get more than what was required for them to get. And they would take advantage of people. Most of them actually were rich. And people knew that these guys are rich because they have taken stuff from me. So they would take more than what was required. They would put in jail those people that are not paying taxes. They would put them in jail. So they were not loved at all. And you can just imagine how people perceived them. You can just imagine how people looked at them. And no one wanted to associate with a tax collector unless only when you would benefit from them. If you would benefit from them, then they'll be your colleague, they'll be your friend. But most people will be like, no, I don't want to be around those people. Those people are outside my league. I don't want to be close to them at all. And even religious people, if the religious people wanted to give an example of what it means to be the worst sinner in this society, they would refer to the tax collector. Do not be like a tax collector, because these people are so sinful, they're worst. You cannot be around these people. You cannot associate with these people. And Matthew represents a group of people. Mafia tax collector represents a group of people that we know will never hang out with these guys because they do things differently from us, because maybe they sin more than we do, maybe because we are disgusted with their behavior, or maybe they have stuff that we don't have, or we have stuff that they don't have, and we know we are not going to associate with those people. These people will not normally invite for dinner. These people will not normally say, hey, do you want to come and hang out? Because we're so disgusted with their behavior and we don't want to be around them. But Jesus Christ wanted to have a different view of this group, the Matthews. The Matthews are often left out. They are not invited to church activities. They're not invited into people's homes. They are left out. These Matthews, they are left out. And they can look good on the outside. They can look as if they have everything. But in their inside, they're hurting. The Matthews in our world can look good as if they have everything together, but they are a mess on the inside. They can look good or maybe even look harsh and cruel, but they are full of insecurities. They are looking for someone who can show them God's love. They are looking for someone who can show them God's love. And Jesus looks at Matthew and he sees him differently. Jesus does not condone Matthew's behavior, but he does not condemn his soul at all. Jesus Christ does not condone Matthew's behavior, but also does not condemn him. It matters how you view the people that behave, it matters how you view the people whose behavior disgusts you. It matters How view the people that you consider to be different from you, that they sin differently? It matters how you look at them. You either see them as condemned and worthy of punishment, or you see them as sick people in need of a doctor. You see them as sick people in need of a doctor. So us as believers, God is calling us that we can reach out to the Matthews in our world, to the Matthews around us, those that nobody can stand, those that you yourself cannot stand because of their behavior, because of the way they live their lives. And God wants us to reach out to them. And this morning, I just wanted to look at three ways that we could do this well, that we can reach out to the Matthews in our world. Number one, get to their booth, but do not get in their booth. Get to their booth, but do not get in their booth. Verse 9 says this: as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Follow me, and Matthew got up and followed him. We want to reach out to the Matthews in our world. But one thing that we need to do is we need to be very careful that we are also not condoning their behavior. We need to be very careful that we are not condoning the behavior. But not condoning their behavior does not mean that we should live our lives separate from them. Avoid condoning their behavior. It means we are inviting them to a better way of living. We're inviting them to a better way of living. So we need to get close. We need to get to their booth where they are working. For Jesus Christ, he saw Matthew, and Matthew used to hang out in a booth. He used to hang out in a booth. This was his zone. This was his place. He was in a booth collecting taxes. He was in a booth collecting taxes. And for Jesus Christ to see that Matthew was a tax collector, Jesus Christ had to go to Matthew. He had to go to Matthew's booth. He had to go to him. He had to go to Matthew's booth. But when Jesus gets to Matthew's booth, he does not get in Matthew's booth. He gets close, but he doesn't start doing what Matthew is doing. Jesus Christ doesn't come in and say, all right, Matthew, you're in that booth collecting taxes. I'm going to join you. All right, now I'm filling in for Matthew collecting taxes. No, that's not what he's doing. He gets to where Matthew was, but does not start doing what Matthew was doing. Because if Jesus Christ had started doing what Matthew was doing, he could have been condoning what Matthew was doing. And by the way, I'm not communicating that collecting taxes is bad, but we know what was happening with tax collectors in this day. So you do not get to their booth and find them gossiping and that you join in gossiping so that you reach out to them. No, probably that's not a good idea. You will not really reach out to them that way. You don't get to their booth and find them, you know, engaging in corrupt ways. And you're like, oh, I need to reach out to these guys. Therefore, I will start being corrupt as well so I can reach out to them. I can identify with them. No. You are getting in their booth. Get to their booth, but do not get in their booth. Get close. Get to where they're at. Go to where they're at. Reach out to them. Go to where they're at, but you don't start doing what they're doing because you don't want to condone their behavior. What you want to do is you want to invite them to a better way of living. You want to invite them to a better way of living. So Jesus Christ goes to Matthew, and what does he say? He says, follow me. Follow me. And what Jesus is saying is that, you know what? Your way of living is not good. What you're doing, Matthew, is not good. The way that you've been taking advantage of people, that's not good. I want you to see a better way of living. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. There's a better way that you can live your life. There's a better way that you can do life. So do you want to come? Do you want to come? Come and be with me. Jesus Christ does not say, oh, Matthew, continue doing what you've been doing. You are fantastic. Continue living your life the way you have been. You are amazing. No. He gets close to him, but shows him another way of living life. There's a better way to live life. So come and follow me. And therefore, for us, our mission is to show Jesus Christ so attractive that people would leave everything behind and follow Jesus and follow him. Follow him. This was a game changer. Jesus Christ coming to Matthew's booth was a game changer for Matthew, because Matthew anticipated that everybody else is going to call him a sinner. He knew that. Preachers were preaching about him. Preachers were using him as an example. People were pointing fingers at him. He heard the rumors, but also he has heard people talking bad about him. So he knows people talk bad about me. So he's anticipating that somebody will accuse him of wrongdoing. So it's not surprising to Matthew when people call him to be bad. It's not surprising because he has seen this all of his life. But for the first time in his life, a religious person, actually more than that, a rabbi comes to Matthew for the first time and speaks to him kindly. For the first time, somebody who fears God comes to him and speaks to him with love. For the first time, somebody offers themselves up and say, do you want to come into my space? Do you want to hang out with me? For the very first time, that was a game changer for Matthew because he did not expect that. He expected that Jesus would come to him and be like, look at you, you evil man, you evil person. He anticipated that, but Jesus Christ treats him differently. He gets to his booth. He comes close to him, and this was a massive surprise for Matthew. And for the first time, somebody looks at him and says, hey, come on up. Come, let's get here. And this person is a rabbi. And Matthew is like, what? A rabbi? Looks at me with love and compassion. This is absolutely amazing. So Jesus Christ reaches out to those that would be deemed to be on the outside. He reaches out to them. And he does not compromise himself. And that's the same thing for us. We get to their booth, but we don't get in their booth. We want to reach out to them, but we don't compromise how we live our lives because we want to invite them to a better way of living. There's a better way that you can live life. So how do you do this practically? And I just have a few suggestions of how you can do this practically. Number one, start asking questions about what they do. The people that you consider in your life to be on the outside, the people that you consider to be, you know, that their behavior disgusts you. Go to them and start asking them about what they do. That could be another way that you can connect, another way of getting into their booth. Yeah, so tell me about what you do. Oh no, I do this, I do that. And you are like fascinated with what they do. So start asking questions. I want to get to know what you do, you know, ask questions. So ask questions is one way that can help you to get to their booth. The second way is learning their story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story to share. And you can learn about them. Hey, so tell me about you. Tell me about you. And just learn about their life. Just learn about their life. Because that's one way that you can show that you care for someone when you want to learn about their life. Tell me a story. Learn about their story. And sometimes getting to their booth means inviting yourself to the things that matter to them. Inviting yourself to the things that matter to them. So you see what matters to them. You see the things that they value. And you'll be like, hey, can I be a part of that? Hey, I see that you love watching football. Can I come along with you? Because you want to get to their booth. You want to bring the good news to them. So invite yourself to the things that matter to them. What is it that matter to them? And that it's good and that you could be a part of. Another way is celebrate what they celebrate. You know, so maybe they have a wedding. And thank God you're in Malawi. You can even invite yourself to weddings, to their wedding. Be like, hey, I'm going to be there, man. To your baby shower. I'm coming right there. You know, like celebrate what they celebrate. Weddings, chinkoswes, birthdays. You know, maybe it's their birthday. And celebrate that with them because you are getting to their booth. You are getting close to them. You are getting close to them. Celebrate what they celebrate. Another way you could get to their booth by offering help. Offering help. Hey, can I help you carry that? Oh, sure. Hey, can I help you with transportation? You know, I could drop you there. Yeah, can I help? Can I help you in this? Offer to help, because that's one of the ways that you can get to their booth. You can get close to them. And when you help people, people become warm, and they can easily receive whatever you want to give to them, whatever you want to say to them. So offer help. Another way is supporting their uncompromising efforts. You know, the things you know these are good, they're not compromised. they don't go against God, but they're good, and you can support them in that. Maybe they have a business, and you can go and buy from them. You can go and buy from them. Support them. That could be another way that you get close. You get close. And lastly, inviting them to what matters to you. Inviting them to what matters to you. Hey, you know what? There's this really church that I'm a part of, and I wanted to invite you on Sunday, and you can come and sit with me. Come and sit with me in church, you know, this coming Sunday, and you invite them. Or you invite them to your own birthday party. You invite them to your own chinkose or whatever is happening with you, to your own graduation. Be like, hey, this is happening. Do you want to come and join me and be a part of it? Because you want to get close. You want to get to their booth. You want to get to their booth. So get to their booth. We need to go and reach out. And we need to go and reach out to the people that are considered to be on the outside. We need to get close to their booth. Without getting in their booth, of course. Because we are inviting them to a better way of living. We are inviting them to a better way of living. Number two, that you can reach out to the people that are on the outside is by choosing to see redemption over condemnation. Choosing to see redemption over condemnation. Verse 10 and 11 says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do this? Avoid condemning those you deem on the outside. Avoid condemning those whose behavior you do not approve. Do not condemn them, but see them as worthy of God's grace. See them as worthy of God's grace. Choose to see redemption and not condemnation. And the problem with tax collectors, you know, they were seen as those on the outside and nobody wanted to come close to them. They were seen as both on the outside of religion, but also most people saw them as outside of God's grace. Outside of God's grace. But just because you consider someone to be on the outside of your circle does not mean they're far from being reached by God's grace. That doesn't mean that. In fact, God loves to reach out to those that are on the outside. The Pharisees saw tax collectors as those that were condemned, worthy of hellfire. But Jesus saw tax collectors as worthy of redemption. Matthew does not need to be condemned. Matthew needs redemption. Matthew needs redemption. So choose to see redemption and not condemnation. Choose to see redemption and not condemnation. Sinners are not to be condemned, but they are to be redeemed. They are not to be condemned, but they are to be redeemed. Because God reaches out to them. And in fact, the word grace means unmerited favor. It's the kind of favor that you don't work for. And God gives it to those that do not deserve. So the people whose behavior disgusts you, and you feel like they're not worthy of your time, and you feel like they're not worthy of your grace, God offers his grace to them. He offers his grace to them. And see redemption in them. See redemption in them. So we have a choice to make. We can either deem those on the outside as they deserve hell, they deserve condemnation, or we can see them that these are people that are in need of God's redemption and they need to be redeemed. So Matthew was used to be called a sinner, but for the first time, somebody shows him love. For the first time, somebody who fears God does not condemn him and says, hey, do you want to eat together today? Let's have dinner. In fact, go and invite your friends and we're going to have dinner together. We're going to have dinner together. When the Pharisees saw this, they condemned Jesus. In fact, condemned these guys. Like, these guys are sinners. They don't deserve to be around the master. They don't deserve to be around our circle. They have to be on the outside and stay on the outside. But when we condemn people, we get in the way of God to do his work. And when we see redemption, we get out of the way for God to do his work. Because God loves to work with sinners. So get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let God work. Let God do his work. Let him do his work. And the Pharisees saw tax collectors as enemies. And they say, oh, because they are my enemy, then that means they are also the enemy of God. And God is like, no, I don't have enemies. In fact, I love on my enemies. Let them come. I'm going to eat with them. I love my enemies. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. People do not change because we have shown them of how bad they are. People change when we show them of how much love they are, because they are loved by God. There is a redemption. There is a redemption for them. There is redemption for them. So two ways that you can choose to see redemption over condemnation. Two ways. Number one, pray for sinners rather than talking about them. Pray for sinners rather than talking about them. Just talking about how bad they are, that's condemning, but you want to pray for them. You want to pray for them. So take time to pray for those whose behavior disgusts you. Take time to pray for those that you deem to be on the outside. Take time to pray for them. Take time to pray for them. And you are praying for them because you're trusting that God is so good. That God is so good, he can redeem even those that I see to be far from his grace. He can reach out to them and bring them in into his kingdom. And therefore, I will pray. But also through prayer, you're communicating to say, I am not the one that redeems people. It is Jesus that redeems people. Therefore, I'll ask him to change them. I'll ask him to change them. So pray. Pray for sinners. Pray for people. Pray for those that you see to be on the outside. They're not in my circle. Therefore, they are condemned. Pray for those guys. Pray for them. And who is it in your life that needs this? Who is it in your family that you need to pray for? That you can say, you know what? I want to choose God's redemption. That God is able to redeem them. That God is able to redeem them. So you need to take time. You need to take some time to pray for sinners and not talk about them. Because for Pharisees, they didn't even spend any time to pray for tax collectors. They just wanted to talk about how bad tax collectors were, how bad the mafias were. That's what they love to do. Hey, you see at them. Look at them. Look at how bad they are. But not a single one of them would spend time to pray. God, would you please bring them to redemption? Would you please rescue them? Bring them into your presence. So do not just talk, but pray for sinners. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. The second way that you could do this practically is choose God's glory over your own reputation. Choose God's glory over your own reputation. For Jesus Christ, he didn't care so much about what people would say about him when he goes to hang out with sinners. He chose God's glory. He chose for God to be glorified. Because Matthew eventually becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And God is glorified through that. So Jesus Christ is more concerned with God's reputation. He's more concerned with God's glory rather than his own reputation. The Pharisees will look at him and be like, ah, he's hanging out with sinners. I thought he said he was a righteous man. I thought he said he's a rabbi. I thought he said he knows the truth. But look at him. I thought he said he's a prophet. But look at him. He's hanging out with those sinners. And therefore, everybody else is going to call him a sinner. He has lost his reputation. But Jesus Christ is not concerned about his reputation. He's concerned about God's glory. He's concerned about God's glory. I remember when we started Ufulu Festival, there was a two-year period that we did Ufulu Festival in a place called Mbowe. Now, if you don't know Mbowe, Mbowe is a drinking joint. You know, if people want to just like get wasted in town, most of them would go to Mbowe. So as a church, we said, hey, what if we can hold an event at that place? You know, we can go there and talk about Jesus there. And I remember we went there and I had a few conversations of people saying, how dare you? You would go to that drinking joint. I'm not even going to allow my children come close to you guys to be a part of this. And we got a lot of slack from that. But in one of those Ufulu festivals at Mbowe, I met a young person. And this young person was going through a hard time. He had just gotten a girl pregnant and was going through a rough time. So he was just getting wasted as a way of dealing with stress. So I met him and prayed with him and said, "Hey, do you want to come and have lunch with me?" He said, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Yeah, you want to come and have lunch with me?" He's like, "Okay, if you can allow me to perform, I'm going to have lunch with you." So I said, "No, I'm not going to let you perform," because he was drunk and wasted. But I said, "What if you have lunch with me and then we can talk about it?" He said, "Okay, fine." So the next following week, we had lunch together. And he said, for the first time, a religious person looked at him and had a chat with him. And he said that has never, ever happened in his life, that a pastor would come to him and say, "Do you want to come and have lunch with me?" Ever. Never happened to him. And that story coming out from that place, when we went, that we were like, we don't care what people are going to say. We're caring more about God's glory, that life would come to know Jesus. And he got to know Jesus in our meeting on that day. So be more concerned with God's glory rather than your own reputation. To say, "Oh no, I don't want people to look at me a certain way, so I'm not going to go to Matthew's booth. I'm not going to hang out with the Matthews because I don't want people to look at me in a certain way." Be concerned with God's glory, because when God rescues them, when he redeems them, his name would be glorified. And your reputation doesn't matter. As long as you're good with him, as long as you're good with God. So choose to see redemption rather than condemnation. And the way that you could do this practically is by praying for sinners and choosing to see God glorified and not concerning yourself with your own reputation. Because if you pay too much attention to your own reputation rather than God's glory, you will be hindered from reaching out to those that we deem to be on the outside. So we got to choose to see God's glory, to choose to see them. Those that are deemed to be on the outside, to choose to see redemption on them rather than condemn them. And lastly, the way we reach out to the Matthews in our world is by choosing to see them through the lens of compassion. Choosing to see them through the lens of compassion. Verse 12 to 13 says this. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus Christ looks at Matthew as someone who is sick. Matthew is a sick person, not just waiting to die. But he's a sick person in need of a doctor. And that's how Jesus Christ looks at Matthew. Matthew is sick. He's a sick person who needs a doctor. And the Pharisees saw Matthew as a sinner, worthy of hellfire. But Jesus Christ saw Matthew as someone who needs a doctor. He is sick and he needs a doctor. And when we begin to see sinners as people that are sick, that will begin to change how we look at them. We're going to start looking at them with compassion. Because that's how you normally respond to a sick person. The weird way of responding to a sick person is laughing at their sickness. Nobody does that. We don't laugh at people's sicknesses. We don't laugh at them and say, "Ha ha, look at you, you're sick." We don't. We actually look at sick people with compassion, with mercy. You look at them with mercy and compassion. By the way, recently I went to the KCH where we had a family member there. So not a family member, but one of our congregants here, and their kid was sick, and we went to KCH. And oh man, like you know, when you're out here, things are okay, but when you go to KCH, Kamu Central Hospital, oh man, your heart breaks every time. There's a lot of suffering that's happening there. That's how you respond. Your heart breaks when you view people as sick. They are sick in need of a doctor. It's not that they're sick waiting to die, but they're sick in need of a doctor. And that's how Jesus Christ looks at Matthew. He is sick and he needs a doctor. He is sick and he needs a doctor. And do you know that most people that are engaged in destructive behaviors, they are actually hurting? Do you know that most people that are seem to be cruel, Most people that seem to be tough on the outside, they're actually hurting. They don't need actually condemnation, that they actually need love, that we got to reach out to them. So watch out. Watch out for the people in your lives. Watch out for the people in your lives. Family members that you treat as though they are on the outside. You call them a black sheep of the family. Whatever we do, they don't understand it. They don't get it. You give them money and you agree on certain terms and they use it all on drinking and everything is done. And you look at them and you just condemn them. Jesus Christ looks at them and he sees them as sick people that need a doctor. And therefore, the way you respond to a sick person is that you look at them with compassion and mercy. You look at them with compassion and mercy. So us as believers, when we see people to be on the outside, we need to realize that these guys are sick and they need a doctor. And the only way that we could do that is because we realize that we ourselves are sick and in need of a doctor. That was the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees do not see the need of God at all in their own lives. The Pharisees had their own sickness. And their sickness was called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. I am better than a tax collector. I am better than those that are on the outside. So they judged them and condemned them. They condemned them because they did not see their own need for God. They did not see that they themselves need somebody who can look at them with compassion and mercy. Who can look at them with compassion and mercy. But they were sick because they were self-righteous. And this is what Jesus says in verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. God desires mercy and not sacrifice. God is more concerned with showing mercy rather than religious rituals. God is not impressed with our religious rituals. That you come in, you pray, you do that, you do this. But without mercy, it's all nothing. And the Pharisees were so concerned with religious rituals that they wanted to do the right things that religion required for them to be considered as worthy of God's grace. But God is like, no, I actually desire mercy. I desire compassion rather than just a religious ritual. You can give all you want to the church. You can serve all you want to the church, but if there is no mercy there, it's all for nothing. If you're not pursuing compassion, it's all for nothing. Because God desires mercy. He desires compassion. So would you join God in his desire? That you desire to see to do acts of compassion more rather than condemning acts to those that you deem to be on the outside? Would you join Jesus in showing mercy to the mafiosos? Would you join Jesus in choosing mercy and compassion to the mafiosos rather than condemning them? Would you join God in that? All of us are sick people waiting for a doctor, and we need a doctor. The only difference between us and those that we deem to be on the outside is God's grace. All of us are sinners. Those that believe in Jesus are forgiven sinners. As someone else said, that every sin has a past and every sin has a future, isn't it? God is here to show us mercy. And he's here to show those that you deem on the outside, the mafiosos, he's here to show them mercy. So would you join God in looking at them through the lens of compassion, through the lens of compassion? So we have to get to their booth without getting in their booth. That we are not going to condemn their behavior, but we will invite them to a better way of life. May we choose to see redemption and not condemnation. And may we choose to see them through the lens of compassion, through the lens of compassion. So for you this morning, who are the people in your life that you've been treating as those on the outside? You got to be aware of those people. What groups of people that you've been treating as those to be on the outside? That you can't hang out with them. You can't be with them at all. And how can you be more intentional? How can you be more intentional into reaching out to them? How can you do it this week? How can you do this? Who in your life needs to be shown compassion? And I just wanted us to intentionally just spend a few minutes together, to just pray together. And I wanted to just take a moment to think through, who in my life have I been condemning? Who in my life have I been treating to be on the outside? In fact, I don't even pay attention to them anymore because I've condemned them already. They are the mafia in my life. Who is it in your life or around you or in our world? Who is it? And how can we reach out to them? So just take a moment to have a think of this, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together and praying for them, because God is the one that can bring redemption to them. So yeah, take a moment to just think through this. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Now, I wanted to take a moment to just pray for them. Take a moment to just pray for them. That God will redeem them. Will redeem them. It could be somebody in your family, somebody in your workplace, somebody in your school, people around you. Pray for God's redemption. Pray that God will reach out to them.
So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call.
God, we come to you, for in you, Jesus, we feel welcomed, just like Matthew was. God, we come to you, for we know that there is no one who is far from your grace, that you can reach out to them, even those that we deem to be on the outside, that you can reach out to them and bring them into your kingdom. So God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring the mafias in our world to you. That God, you breed a desire in them to follow you. To follow you. That you would bring them to repentance. That you would bring them to repentance, God. For you, God, can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even ever imagine. May you look on them with mercy and compassion. And may you help us to look at them with mercy and compassion. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And may you consider what ways is God calling you that you can join him as he's inviting the Matthews, as he's saying to the Matthew, come and follow me. So what ways could you do it? Now this morning I also wanted us to spend some time praying, and we're going to have prayer counselors up front and some will be at the back. I want us to spend time praying for those that feel like they are a Matthew. Maybe you're feeling like yourself, you're feeling like you're so condemned. Maybe because of some sin in your own life. And you are like, this sin actually keeps me from being a part of God's community. So you feel condemned yourself. Maybe because of some things that you have done in your life and you're feeling just so condemned. I'm not worthy. I'm not feeling worthy of God's praises, God's grace in my life. What is it that's going on with you? You might be in that space at the moment. Maybe because of certain addictions. Maybe because of what's been going on around you. And you've been feeling unworthy of God's grace, unworthy to be reached out by God. And we just want to spend some time praying. And wherever you might be with that. And as we'll be singing this song, this last song, I would like to invite you to come. And as we'll have prayer counselors around. And you can come and be prayed for. If you're just feeling far right now, maybe you're feeling far from God. Maybe you can't even sense God's presence in your life. You're just like, you know what? I don't know if I'm connecting with God right now. I cannot feel like I'm connecting with God right now. Whatever, if you're feeling in that space, I would like to invite you to come and receive prayer. So let's all stand as we worship God one more time. And we're going to have prayer counselors around that could pray for people.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.